From Mount Pleasant to State College, Warren to York, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, inflation, supply chain disruptions, a worker shortage, all are responsible for the worsening of Pennsylvania's economy. Greg Moreland from the National Federation of Independent Business is here to analyze results of the Spring 2022 Keystone Business Climate Survey. A unique program to provide shelter for homeless veterans is the mission of Veterans Outreach of Pennsylvania. Joe Geiger has Tom Zimmerman in the Community Benefit Spotlight. And it is budget time in Harrisburg. The Taxpayer Protection Act would help keep state spending in check. Ashley Klingensmith from Americans for Prosperity Pennsylvania talks about it on this week's Lincoln Radio Journal Commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to Greg Moreland from the National Federation of Independent Business in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. Dr. Mehmet Oz has declared himself to be the presumptive Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate after besting Dave McCormick by under 1,000 votes in the official count. But a recount is underway and is to be concluded this coming week. That may not be the end of the story, however, as a number of court cases are making their way through the judicial system. The ultimate winner will face Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman to take the seat of retiring U.S. Senator Pat Toomey. According to the Center Square, the Pennsylvania Department of Human Services has dropped a proposed provision in Medicare provider contracts that would have required providers who have had a work stoppage at any point in the past 5 years from being included in the Medicare provider network unless they have a collective bargaining contract in place with a labor union. The de facto forced unionization of providers would have been, quote, a significant impediment for people in parts of the Commonwealth who are outside of metropolitan areas, explained State Senator Kristen Phillips Hill. The Health Association of Pennsylvania also welcomed the dropping of the provision, saying the move will, quote, enhance health care. A new state budget is constitutionally required to be in place by July 1st. The nonprofit Volcker Alliance has raised a red flag over Pennsylvania's use of federal COVID-19 money that was intended to combat the pandemic and its economic impact. The Volcker Alliance warns that states like Pennsylvania are risking becoming too dependent on the funding for programs that will outlive both the funding stream and the pandemic, creating a fiscal cliff when those dollars are no longer available. The Alliance gave Pennsylvania a D- for its spending practices over the past 5 years. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. After briefly improving early last year, business conditions in Pennsylvania have gotten steadily worse. Inflation is a top concern, as are supply chain disruptions, a worker shortage, and government policies. That is what business owners and top-line executives told us in the recently completed Spring 2022 Keystone Business Climate Survey. Here to parse through the results is Greg Moreland. He is Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Chapter of the National Federation of Independent Business. Greg, welcome back to Lincoln Radio Journal. Greg, we have been asking in this survey, the Keystone Business Climate Survey, every year for almost 20 years now, what are businesses, large and small, think of the direction of the business climate in Pennsylvania? First of all, we ask them, do you think that business conditions in Pennsylvania are better, the same, or worse than they were 6 months ago? It's still negative. What are your thoughts of that? What's driving these negative numbers?
Well, I think for small business and independent business that don't have the economies of scale as many large corporations do, the last 2 years have been kind of devastating on them and really trying to fight back and get back to pre-pandemic levels has been pretty hard considering state and federal government policies that have been proposed or implemented, shutdown orders. It's been tough to get out of that. And then you incorporate all of the inflation inflation, the record high inflation we're seeing right now, supply chain shortages, and just a lowering of the business optimism over the next 6 months. You know, people are throwing the R word around, the recession possibly coming. So I think all of those factors combined, energy prices going up, potential tolling on the interstates, it's gas prices being through the roof. All of those factors combined, I think, really paint a pessimistic view of the next 6 months in business owners' minds.
The actual numbers in the survey, looking back over the past 6 months, we had half who said, essentially half, that business conditions had gotten worse. And to put that into context, we had a real low point, as you might imagine, during the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, and the numbers have not rebounded. So the fact that things were already bad, but yet businesses think they have gotten worse, is really rather remarkable. We only had about 22% that thought the business climate got better. So we have this pessimism going forward here, and for all the reasons you just mentioned. One of the reasons you did mention, Greg, was inflation. There's a lot of discussion as to who's responsible, what is the cause. Looking at the survey, we see that, yes, the pandemic is getting its share of the blame, but government overspending. I want to talk a bit about that and the impact that all this government spending has had, because these businesses who participated in the survey are saying that's the biggest cause of inflation.
Government overspending, if you look at government spending here at the state level in Pennsylvania, if you look at government spending over the last 20 years, it has far outpaced the population growth that Pennsylvania has observed. And we've continuously lost members of Congress due to slow increase in population compared to other neighboring states. And so if we were to have an initiative like the Taxpayer Protection Act, the constitutional amendment that has been proposed in both the House and the Senate, that would limit the amount that government is able to spend in a year based on metrics related to population growth. I think that those are policies that need to be put into place to limit government spending. We continuously see more government programs coming about where people were getting paid to stay home and not go to work during the pandemic. The social programs have gotten a bit out of control, and I think government needs to get back to its core functions.
Inflation being the biggest concern, talk a little bit about some of the other concerns that are driving the pessimistic attitudes about our state's business climate.
NFIB, we do a lot of similar data to the Keystone Business Climate Survey, and a lot of our data reflects very much what the Keystone Business Climate Survey states. And in this report, 56% of the businesses said that they had open positions in which they couldn't fill. 93% at NFIB, our data reflects 93% of those offering jobs had few or no qualified applicants showing up, right? When you can't fill the slots in your workforce, you can't stay open as long. You can't maximize your potential for income, right? Then when you go to order your products, half of your products are out of stock. Or if they are in stock, that they've risen in price by, you know, 20, 30, 40%. Some have had over 100% inflation on items, right? Then transportation, you have to get those goods to your place of business. The price of gasoline, the price of diesel fuel, at every point in the transportation of goods, we're seeing increased cost. You know, then we have proposals like the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which Governor Wolf has unilaterally tried to enter Pennsylvania into, which is looming out there, which will have about a 40% increase on residential and small business energy costs. You know, many of our businesses are energy intensive. They manufacture, they make things. If we're going to raise the cost at every single turn on these businesses, the only place they have to go is to the customers. And that perpetuates the increase in inflation that we're seeing. When the business incurs fees and increased cost, they have to roll them downhill. And ultimately, that is the consumer, unfortunately. And that is resulting in record high inflation over the last 40 odd years and the pessimistic attitudes that we're seeing moving forward.
Yes, our survey found close to 70% of the businesses were having difficulty filling positions and they just can't get the employees. Another driver of business concern and pessimism, Greg, is the disruption that we have had in supply chains. And we asked our businesses if they've had any supply chain disruptions. Interestingly, we have 49% that say that those supply chain disruptions are continuing, and another 25% have had them in the past, but they have since been resolved. But almost half of the businesses having supply chain issues?
It's hard to make your products. It's hard to fulfill the contracts that you have or take on new contracts to grow your business when you can't yourself get the products that you need. At NFIB, our data shows only 8% of our business members do not have any supply chain issues. More than likely, those are your sole proprietors who work from home or on their computer and don't need much more than a notepad and a piece of paper. But mainly every single business within our membership is seeing that they can't get the products that they need. If they can get them, that they're extremely pricey, and they're having to, in turn, raise those prices on consumers.
Taking a look at the adjustments that businesses have had to make as a result of the current economic conditions, it's interesting. A number have increased wages and benefits. There's also been a lot of price increases. So are we sort of in a vicious cycle? If you're increasing wage and benefits, but if prices go up, does anybody actually get ahead here?
No, you don't. You lose your buying power. And that's the unfortunate part of what we're seeing is that many people have taken new jobs or stayed at their current job and got an increase in their hourly wage. But what has that amounted to when we're seeing nearly double-digit inflation, consumer price indexes is through the roof, your buying power goes down. And for the business owner, they can only compete to such a high level. They're only able to pay their employees a certain amount to make the coffee and pour the coffee. They can't pay them $30 an hour to do some of these professions and some of these jobs. And so they've raised their costs. They've raised their labor costs have drastically increased. They've put out packages, wage benefit packages, and different measures to try to attract individuals to their place of business. But I remember Governor Wolf saying, if you just paid them more, they would come back to the workforce. Well, our business owners have paid them more, and they're nowhere to be found. The workforce is nowhere to be found.
Speaking of Governor Wolf and our other elected officials, one of the things we do is we always do a job performance rating. Do you have a positive or negative view of the job being done by the governor, the president, et cetera? Joe Biden is upside down in our poll. 53% hold a negative view of him, only 37% positive. Governor Tom Wolf also upside down, 49% negative, 36% positive. Greg, actually, nobody had a net positive of all the people we surveyed, and that included our U.S. senators, the Treasury Secretary, the Fed Chairman, the Attorney General, the Auditor General, the State Treasurer. It seems like a really dire mood.
Yeah, it doesn't appear you're the most popular person in the room if you're a politician today. And I think there's some reason for that. I think people have been paying attention a lot more closely over the last 2 years as to what government is and what they should be, what they want them to be, but what they've also done and what they've imposed upon us. And so I think people are paying attention a little bit more. People want their politicians to stop making the wheel spin, and they want something to get accomplished.
We have been talking with Greg Moreland. Greg is the executive director of the National Federation of Independent Business. Greg, tell us just a little bit about NFIB. Where can folks go online to learn more?
You can Google NFIB PA. And we do have a webpage there. We are a national organization. We have a presence in all 50 state capitals and also in Washington, D.C. We truly are the voice of small business. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that represents the interests of business owners. We truly are the voice of small business, and if you want to check us out, you can head over to the internet, Google NFIB PA, and you'll see our website there and more how to sign up to become a member.
And if you would like to read the results of the Spring 2022 Keystone Business Climate Survey, there's both an analysis and the numeric results, all at lincolninstitute.org. Greg Moreland, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
Tom Zimmerman is co-founder of the Veterans Outreach of Pennsylvania. They are working to build a tiny house community for homeless veterans. Joe Geiger has Tom in the Community Benefits Spotlight.
Thank you, Loman, and thank you, Tom, for being a guest on the Lincoln Radio program today. You're welcome. I'm honored to be here.
So, Tom, you're the co-founder of an organization. It's not that old an organization, Veterans Outreach of Pennsylvania. Tell the listeners a little bit about what your mission and goals are.
Well, Veterans Outreach of Pennsylvania is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and our vision is to build a community in downtown central Pennsylvania for veterans who are experiencing homelessness. We plan on building a construction of tiny homes with a very large community center. And this model is going to be a therapeutic transitional housing for our veterans who have fallen through the cracks and need a helping hand.
And in your mission, you're actually providing support and services needed to promote an empowered life filled with strength and purpose for these veterans. So you're going to do it with this tiny house community. Tell us a little bit about the population. How many homeless veterans are you aware of in the territory you plan to do this?
If I can start on a broader scale, in the United States, there's over 38,000 homeless veterans. And in the state of Pennsylvania in 2019 was 982 homeless veterans. And in Dauphin County, it's up to 30 homeless veterans on any given night. Those numbers have been proven. There's a lot of organizations out there that do these numbers, and we work with the Capital Area Coalition of Homelessness, and we work with other organizations through downtown Harrisburg that deal with homeless and veterans, and we have a board member who is the director of the YWCA who is in charge of homeless, and those numbers are real, and that's one of the reasons why we picked Dauphin County, because Dauphin County is one that has a higher rate of homelessness among veterans.
So why is it that we have these staggering numbers of homeless veterans? It seems like we're helping the world find shelter and homes and services. Why do we have so many homeless veterans?
It's a number of reasons. And I couldn't sit here and tell you each and every one. Everyone has a story, whether or not the system has failed them or they failed the system. But veterans are very proud people, and sometimes they get lost. They reach out once or twice to the government or to an organization, and they don't get the answers that they need or they want, and they move on. And unfortunately, it's a vicious cycle. And it's one that we feel here that we want to help those who just need a helping hand and who have given up on a system or the system has given up on them. And they were willing to put their hand up with a one-way ticket to fight for our freedom and possibly sacrifice their lives. And they deserve better. And so this therapeutic model that we're talking about is a transitional model that what we want to do is help our veterans get off the street, put them in a tiny home where the tiny home is nothing but very basic amenities, and it's a place where they can call their own, they can put their head on a pillow, they will be safe, they will feel secure, which is part of the problem when you're homeless is not knowing where you're going to sleep and also where your next meal is coming from. So we will take care of those issues. And then we're going to put the therapeutic model together. We're going to develop an in-service plan for each and every veteran. And each and every veteran will then be able to work on getting to the point where they can get back into society and live a sustainable life.
I understand that some of the homeless veterans are homeless by choice. Do you run into that?
We do in some cases. And unfortunately, they probably would not succeed in our model because our model is one that is going to be created that they're going to want to get out of that cycle and become and have housing, whether it not be government housing or subsidy housing or whatever the housing would be. But they will have it will be an application process. Again, we're going to be putting together a service plan that they're going to have to be able to commit to. And we're going to have to see progress. And there's going to be weekly checks. We're going to have caseworkers, and we're going to have an executive director, and they're going to be held accountable. And we're going to be trying to get them jobs. We're going to be trying to, you know, we'll teach them. We'll have classes. We're going to do all kinds of different things. But the veteran themselves do have to want to get out of being homeless.
Sure.
You're right. Some of them want to stay homeless because they just feel more comfortable that way.
This is Joe Geiger on the Lincoln Radio Program. My guest today is Tom Zimmerman, who's the co-founder of Veterans Outreach of Pennsylvania. Tom, it's a great program. In my travels, there are some like and similar programs for homeless people. They aren't all necessarily for veterans, but they're very, very effective. Will your veterans have to pay anything for assuming residence in one of the tiny homes?
Great question, Joe. And the answer is no. We want to do this all independently. We want our veterans to be able to get the benefits that they so deserve. We will help them do that. A lot of them don't even know that they qualify for certain things. And the money that they save or the money they get from the government will go into a bank account. So when they're ready to leave and they graduate from our program, then they'll have a nice little nest egg to help them get started.
So, Tom, you didn't serve in the military, but you told me the other day you're doing this because your father served and you just want to pay back.
That's correct, Joe. My father was a World War II Navy veteran, died in 2016, and was buried out of Fort Indian Town Gap at the National Cemetery. And it was one of those things that my wife and I want to transition into our retirement years, and we've been fortunate enough that we've been able to give back, and we really wanted to make a difference here. The military burial that the government does is just phenomenal and still gives me goosebumps today as we talk. But what we started thinking about was what happens when people are in the military and they have their uniform on, people really respect them and thank them and pay for the dinners. But once they get out of the military, and the military does a great job training them to be soldiers, but they don't do a great job in transitioning in back into civilian life. And depending on the support system and depending on the situation, some of them have fallen on hard times, and we feel that we need to make a difference for them.
Well, Tom, you're a great example of how somebody who is non-military can contribute to the cause here, and I want to commend you for that. Tom, if somebody listening to the program wants to contribute money or volunteer with your program, how can they find you?
Our website is the best resource that we have. It's www.veteransoutreachofpa.org. And I also recommend that you follow us on social media. We have a Facebook page and an Instagram. Both of them are Veterans Outreach of PA.
Well, we'll look to hear more from you in the future. Best of luck to what you're doing. And again, thank you for being a guest on the Lincoln Radio program. We'll go back to Lohman.
We don't have a Taxpayer Protection Act to keep state spending under control, but on this Lincoln Radio Journal commentary, Ashley Klingensmith from Americans for Prosperity says lawmakers can still adhere to its limits.
We've flipped the calendar and entered June, the month the General Assembly will use to negotiate a budget. There are 15 scheduled session days for the House and Senate throughout the month, beginning June 7th and ending the 30th, the date that marks the budget deadline. Appropriations hearings will occur regularly, and we'll each get to witness what the different caucuses and chambers value and prioritize. What is critical for each of us to continue to scale throughout the month is the necessity for the legislature to prioritize us, the taxpayers who make the expenditures they appropriate possible. The reality of summer 2022 is quite different than that of 2021. In June of last year, consumer prices increased 5.4% from the same time in 2020, the biggest monthly gain since August 2008. Inflation had increased 4.5%, the largest move since September of 1991. But this year, we're realizing inflation over 8%, remaining near 40-year highs. The impacts of inflation, coupled with the fact that analysts are now claiming gas prices could soon top $5 a gallon, warrants a strong sign from Harrisburg that the state can be the antidote to the harmful spending and policies coming from Washington. Last January, at the start of the 2021-2022 legislative session, the House State Government Chairman Seth Grove reported the Taxpayer Protection Act from committee. This legislation would have amended the Constitution to establish spending limits that the Commonwealth must abide by each fiscal year, limiting the amount the state's spending may increase based on a three-year average of the state's inflation and population growth. The cap could only be exceeded by a two-thirds vote of both chambers of the General Assembly. Well, 16 months have now passed since the bill was reported from committee, with the House still not considering the legislation on third consideration. This means only the members of the House State Government Committee can be held to voting for a budget within these spending limits. However, this lack of action before the full House should not be a pass for the rest of the chamber. Americans for Prosperity will communicate ideas and specific spending figures for this budget cycle to members in both chambers. First, in accordance with the controls set forth in the Taxpayer Protection Act, we believe state spending should not grow faster than inflation and population. We see many ways to reduce waste and improve efficiencies in our government. Reducing the burden of state spending on the hardworking taxpayers of the Commonwealth can help them get through these difficult times. General fund spending should not exceed $38.8 billion for fiscal year 2022-2023. Including supplementals, the general fund spending for fiscal year 2021-2022 was $37.48 billion, an increase of $2.88 billion from the prior year. Pennsylvania population has grown by 0.41% from 2018 to 2021, and inflation has increased by an average of 3.12% from December 18 to December of 2021. Governor Wolf's proposed general fund spending of $43.71 billion would be a 16.6% increase. So, the legislature will need to reduce the governor's proposal by over $4.91 billion to be within the Taxpayer Protection Act limit. Second, we support a comprehensive approach to budgeting, which would help us set priorities and budget more carefully. Only one-third of the state's spending passes through the annual 17-bill appropriations process. Fully two-thirds of our spending is in a shadow budget and is not included in each year's budget review. Special tax credits, deductions, exclusions, and other forms of spending through the tax code are also absent from our regular process. A budget should be one unified document with all spending and all revenue. Any funds that come into and go out of state coffers belong in the budget. Putting everything together would let us take a holistic approach to priorities and give us more ability to change them across different categories. Responsible spending growth and a real budget would create the greatest value for our fellow Pennsylvanians today. I'm Ashley Klingensmith, State Director with Americans for Prosperity. Find us on Facebook by searching at PAAFP and on Twitter by searching at AFP Pennsylvania.
If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 27 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WFYL-AM in Jeffersonville, WJSA-FM in Jersey Shore, along with WCCL-FM and WBHV-AM in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. All of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania.
We'll be right back.